2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Happy as always to have you on board to the podcast for your daily fix on BYU sports. And it's always here on the legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com. You can follow me on Twitter if you haven't done so already, at @Mitch_Harper. Mitch Harper KSL on Instagram. I'm always flexing it for the gram these days with the player countdown. I'm posting a bunch of player videos that you can go check out on my Instagram, so I highly recommend giving me a follow on the gram, and then make sure to download the KSL Sports app and follow at KSL Sports on all the major socials, and subscribe to the podcast, Apple, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. You know the drill there. So here's what we got on tap for today's show. I'm excited about this episode, folks. Cosmo, the national champion mascot that all of you love, and he's one of the best mascots point blank in all of sports. I'm not mincing words here. Cosmo is legit. I've been watching the evolution of Cosmo over the years as a spectator and now a media member. Cosmo is top notch. He's one of the best to do it in all of the land. Look, I remember when Cosmo was the big headed dude with the bare hand showing, and then he evolved and he had that accident in Provo Canyon and he had to get cosmoetic surgery. Remember that? 1997, he had this gray look that nobody liked, and then he got cosmetic surgery again. And ever since, Cosmo's been kind of this just top dog when it comes to mascots, and one of the best to do it as far as tricks and all these different things. Well, Cosmo really has jumped up a level in terms of interest because of all the viral moments he's had. And one of the individuals that's been Cosmo the past few years is Stephen Millard. I caught up with him recently to discuss what it's like to be Cosmo, some of the viral moments like the dunk this past year, a dance back in 2018. Caught up with him about what it's like just to be Cosmo and go through the process. It's a fascinating interview. You don't want to miss it. So be on the lookout for that coming up in this episode. The player countdown rolls on. 91 days till kickoff for BYU and Utah. Today's spotlight athlete is Earl Tuioti Mariner. He's been battling some injuries. I'll give you an outlook for Earl coming up in 2020. But we'll start things off with the 2015 Nebraska game real quick. Now you're thinking, why the 2015 Nebraska game? Well, ESPNU replayed the game. It's a throwback Thursday day on ESPNU, and they've been showing games that end in epic Hail Marys. They showed 2003 Bluegrass Miracle, LSU, Kentucky, Colorado, Michigan with Cordell Stewart. So BYU, Nebraska, 2015, the Miracle at Memorial was there. And I got to say, just kind of, I went into some nostalgia mode looking back on that. I was lucky enough to be covering that game It was my first road game that I covered as a credentialed media member, so that was pretty exciting for me on a personal level. But to be at Nebraska was amazing. The Haymarket Street on Friday night before the game, highly recommend all of you college football fans out there to go to a game at Nebraska because it's top notch. It's bucket list type stuff. I'm not gonna lie. I am so happy I covered that game and had the chance to do it because it was a special event to be at. But watching that game over, and I've watched the game a few times, but you sometimes just forget certain moments and things kind of slip your memory over the years. It just happens with everything that's going on in the world. You can be easy to forget moments in certain games over the years. And watching that game in 2015 between BYU and Nebraska, the biggest thing that stood out to me, if anyone wants to question whether or not Taysom Hill can be a quarterback in the National Football League, go watch Taysom against Nebraska in 2015. Taysom was just spectacular. It's kind of just incredible how good he was. He had that one pick that kind of swung the momentum a little bit. So that was one of the head-scratching moments. But really, it was a darn near flawless performance. Not many times do you see BYU go into a Power 5 venue and just kind of dominate the competition. That's what BYU was doing. And Taysom was spectacular. Now, BYU in 2015, Bronco Mendenhall's last year, they ended up going 9-4. They were a good football team, and Mangum ended up throwing for 3,000 yards, earned the Columbus Player of the Year, Freshman of the Year award, had a fantastic freshman season. But it got me thinking, though, Taysom on that team or in 2014, had he stayed healthy in both of those years, in both, BYU, I think, has at least two 10-win seasons, and maybe at least one 11- or 12-win seasons in those campaigns. I'm telling you, Taysom was spectacular. Just the more you watch that guy in 14 and 15, he was just off the charts good. And in 2016, he just was not in the right offense. It just wasn't. The pro-style offense that Ty Detmer brought in was just not a right fit for Taysom. Now, I do think Ty Detmer helped Taysom a lot in terms of maybe learning maybe some of the mental side of the quarterback position, helped them in a lot of different areas that maybe Taysom did not have strengths in 2016. And there's a reason Taysom came back to play for Ty. So there was a strong connection there. But that offense just, in retrospect, was not a fit. The go fast, go hard, up-tempo spread was where Taysom thrived. And he just was so good. And when you talk about the greatest quarterbacks in BYU football history, even though he was limited in terms of the number of games he ended up playing, Taysom Hill has to be in the conversation. He just does. I mean, the performances that he had were just spectacular. It was off the charts. And I went back and looked at some of my old photos and videos that I took from that game covering it on my phone because I'm kind of a hoarder. I'm one of those individuals that literally saves every photo, every screenshot that I probably accumulated. That's why I have to get the 256 or 512 gig phone, because I hate deleting anything. I'm just kind of a hoarder that way, because I always feel like, what if there's a time where I need this video? Now I know I could probably get some hard drive and throw it on there, but I just kind of like it on the phone. I just want it right there at my fingertips and have it accessible. But I was looking back at some of those photos and videos from the 2015 season and that game in particular, and you know, Bronco Mendenhall in the postgame announcing that Taysom suffered a Lisfranc fracture and was out for the season, but then noted he played after suffering the Lisfranc injury and got the touchdown, and the team staff basically told Bronco, we've never seen that before. We've never had a guy suffer this injury and then be able to still play. Taysom's just an alpha. He's a tough-as-nails dude, and it just, again, that guy can play the quarterback position at a high level. Anyone that's still knocking him about what he can potentially be at the quarterback spot, they got to revisit that and go look at that Nebraska game as kind of what he is capable of doing. And what was so difficult, too, about that game was Taysom's road to recovery was so difficult. It was so strenuous, and it was, because remember, in 2014, he suffered the leg injury against Utah State. BYU was undefeated. And then the road to recovery, coming back, being ready for game one in 2015, it was quite the feat, honestly, because in that moment against Utah State in 2014, you thought, could Taysom be out for, you know, 12-plus months? I mean, could he? It wasn't where his football career was going to be done. Everyone thought he'd be back at some point, but to be back game number one, week one against Nebraska in 2015. That was impressive, and it spoke to Taysom's work to get back and be ready. And then to have that type of performance where he's throwing for 287 and 74 rushing yards, it was just spectacular. I mean, he truly looked like a Heisman Trophy candidate. And even in the broadcast, Chris Spielman, Sean McDonough, they were wowed by how good Taysom Hill was. And even Todd McShay, who had a low grade for Taysom Hill, a C-minus grade in terms of some of his throwing ability and things like that, I think he even was wowed with how good Taysom Hill was. But Tanner Mangum stepped in, threw that Hail Mary, and, you know, it's a historic win in BYU football history. Honestly, one of the best wins of the independence era when you look at the last nine or so years of how independence has played out. But that was kind of fun to watch that game on ESPNU and see that replayed again and watch it live with some people on television to see that old classic game. But we got to take a break, though. On the other side, my interview with the national champion mascot, Cosmo, Stephen Millard, talking about what it was like, to be the mascot for the BYU Cougars. That's coming up next here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Cougar Tracks on KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. As the BYU insider here at KSL, I'm always following the tracks of the Cougars, including the only individual who leaves an actual Cougar track. And that's BYU's beloved mascot, Cosmo. Joining me now is a man who donned the Cosmo attire and helped lift Cosmo to national champion status. He's BYU grad, Stephen Millard. Stephen, thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Excited to talk to you about, Cosmo's a fascinating deal. I mean, BYU fans, you know it as well as anyone. They love Cosmo, and I want to get into all of that about how you became Cosmo and things like that. But first off, just maybe tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe your upbringing, and what led you to BYU.
Oh, man, that's a great question. So I was born and raised, or I guess I was born in Reno, raised in Seattle. So growing up, I did martial arts, just a handful of sports, gymnastics. I went to Junior Olympics for gymnastics, which is a really cool opportunity. But just on the side, I loved learning new things. And so I'd go on YouTube and try to find tutorials, like how to break dance and just different things like that. So just moving and all, just movement and exercising is just like super fun for me. So I'm always moving. But why I chose BYU? So BYU, my parents went there, but also it was literally the only school I applied to. It was like my dream since I was a little kid to go to BYU and just meet Cosmo, which is kind of funny. But BYU, just, I grew up going to the games. My grandparents are huge fans. My parents, even though we live in Seattle, they're season ticket holders, just huge, huge fans. And so it was just always been a dream of mine to go to BYU.
And so you fulfilled the dream of getting to BYU. What year did you arrive at BYU?
So I graduated high school in 2014,
okay,
but deferred so I could go on a two-year mission.
Okay.
And so I got here August 2016.
Cool. So you fulfill the dream, arrive at BYU. And then I got to ask, I mean, so you've always been a guy that's been moving and fascinated with different, martial arts and dancing, but how did you ultimately become Cosmo?
Oh, yeah. So, interestingly, one of my friends from my home state sent me a link to Cosmo's Instagram, and on Cosmo's Instagram right there, there was a Cosmo tryout page, and it was literally 2 days before the tryout. And at first I was really hesitant to even try out because, you know, all the Cosmos that have gone before have just left an incredible legacy that I just, at first, you know, didn't think I could make it. But then I decided to talk to my dad. He said, just try out anyways. So I get there and there's just a ton of guys and they have just all remarkable talents and all that. But so it starts out with the tryout. It's a very long and grueling process. The first hour is just a physical testing and you max out just on everything, max pushups, max pull-ups, max sprints, just everything to make you super, super tired and to see like how, just basically test your endurance. And then the next 2 hours test your breakdancing, your dancing, your ability to flip, to hit the trampolines. And so, because as Cosmo, wearing the mask and the suit, it's extremely hot. But with the mask, you can't breathe. It is so difficult to breathe. It's so difficult to see. And so they try to get you exhausted as possible to see what you're able to do when you're exhausted. Because that really simulates the experience of being in the Cosmos suit.
Man, that's rigorous stuff there. I mean, what were your max numbers going through that process? Do you remember?
So, yeah. So, so my max pushups. So I've always really liked pushups. I broke the MCC record. That was like my goal when I was a kid. But so for pushups, considering like everything in conjunction, I did like 30 dead hang pull-ups, about like 170 consecutive push-ups. Trying to think about everything else. You had to do a 2-minute bar hang or just a bar hang. And that is just like, you just hang from a bar and it doesn't look hard, but after a while it feels like torture. And so we had to do that. We had to do, kind of like vertical testing, like a non-legitimate vertical testing just to see how high on like a backboard we could get. And, so yeah, just all these like little tests to see what we're able to do. And, our coach, Coach Dave, he's amazing himself. He's an incredible athlete, but
he was a former NBA mascot, wasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And he can still do all the stuff. He's kind of like a freak of nature. He's incredible. But yeah, he's able to kind of see based on people's like physical ability, if they would be able to handle it or not, or if they have potential doing it. And he saw some potential in me. And he, told me that tryout that he'd love to see what I can do on the team. And so for the next, you know, couple months, I kind of went under as like an understudy and kind of learned the trade. I already had like an arsenal of tricks from gymnastics and martial arts and just various things from, you know, just messing around in the backyard. But, he taught me a lot of things, and now I owe a great deal of gratitude to him for his coaching and his service to the program.
So you earned the chance to become Cosmo. You were an understudy for a little bit. What was your first like full-time assignment as the beloved mascot for Cosmo?
There's two on the same day. One was, they were in early 2017, and I don't remember I think one was a soccer game and the other was it was kind of like a make-a-wish type thing where they brought in an individual who was terminally ill, and he got to meet with the football team. And so I went in there and met with him and his family. And it was a really touching experience, you know, something not exactly what you'd think when you sign up for Cosmo. You think, you know, the hype, being in front of the whole football stadium and just crowds of cheering people. But to be able to connect with someone on a personal level like that was pretty interesting and special to have as one of my first experiences as Cosmo. So it was a beautiful moment. Got, yeah, it was But yeah, unfortunately he did pass away, and we were notified about that, and it was really sad to hear about that.
That's special that you got that opportunity to impact the lives of so many as Cosmo. It seems like, you know, Cosmo brightens everyone's day, and I know that one of the things that a lot of people have loved over the years, in recent years especially, and I find it fascinating your tenure with Cosmo, because it feels like in 2017, you know, Cosmo became this huge national viral sensation. BYU fans have always known that Cosmo does big tricks, he does great things, but it became like a national sensation in 2017. So I'm curious, Stefan, I mean, were you part of the Rolex dance? I mean, because that thing was huge in 2017. In fact, it was probably the only highlight the 2017 football season actually had. Was that you under the mask?
Well, I mean, how could you not dance as, you know, as Cosmo? But the thing I want to point out, like, you know, just, you know, it wasn't just, you know, me, like, right, making the Cosmo special. You know, there is, you know, decades of people who put their, you know, heart and soul into Cosmo and really made it special. So, you know, I think if we, you know, we went back in time, did it all over again, but took out the people who went before, I don't think it would be nearly as, you know, viral or sensation as it was. So I think it was the only reason Cosmo got so big was, you know, decades of people, yeah, putting in such hard work. And yeah, so Cosmo can do it all, but it's because, you know, stood on the shoulders of those that came before.
Yeah, I remember some of the early 2000s Cosmos. Those were some crazy, I don't know their names. I'd love to learn the history with you one of these days. But there's always been some crazy stunts from Cosmo over the years. But were you part of some of these viral moments the last few years, like the crazy dunk this past season in basketball? Were you the man under the mask in some of those?
Oh yeah, we had a lot of we were privileged to have a lot of viral moments, you know, and it was really cool to, the funny part is, you know, had some that went viral, and, you know, you get excited about that, and then there's some that you think would go viral, and you know you work really hard, and then they don't, and then you have some that you weren't really expecting, and they catch a lot of views, and so. Yeah, no, it was really cool experience being, like, having those, you know, viral moments. But yeah, definitely surprising to see what catches the audience eyes and what kind of flops, you know.
Yeah.
So at this point, we kind of just you know, you do the tricks and then you just see what sticks and what doesn't. But at this point, still don't really know beforehand if this is, like, when we do something, if it's going to be, you know, a viral sensation, or if it's just going to flop. But yeah, it's definitely hard to not tell anyone when you have a really cool video online and you can't tell anyone. So yeah, that's probably the hardest part.
Well, I'm curious, you know, that kind of ties into my next question. I mean, what was it difficult to not tell people, and maybe just kind of a follow-up to that? I mean, when you did graduate from BYU and announced that you were the Cosmo, how surprised were some of your peers that you were one of the men under that mask and performing those stunts?
Well, it's like you had mixed reactions. You know, you had the people who would ask me the entire time, like, they show a video and they're like, "Was that you?" And you're like, "No, of course not." You know, but you know, it is you. You know, but. So I feel bad for, you know, kind of being in the stray and not being, you know, completely honest. But it was fun. It was fun sometimes to, when people are poking fun at you, they're like, "I know you're Cosmo," and you're like, "Nah, you can't know that." You know, just like fun banter back and forth. You know, there's some people that knew it all along, and then there's the few people that were completely shocked, and that was also a lot of fun too. So yeah, at first it's really, really hard. You know, you're just like, I did all this work. I made this really cool, you know, video, or did this really cool stunt. I can't tell anyone about it. And then after a while, it kind of gets fun because, you know, you're in a room, and like one of my accounting classes, it became the topic of discussion and everyone's talking about it. And then here I am, just, and no one has any idea what's going on, you know, like that I'm there and that was my video or that was my stunt or et cetera, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Talking with Stephen Millard here on Cougar Tracks. I'm curious, Stephen, what was your favorite or maybe craziest moment you had as Cosmo? Because you interact with a lot of people, and it's kind of crazy to think now, because in the day and age of social distancing, it'll be interesting to see how mascots interact with people going forward. But in your time as Cosmo, you probably interacted with a ton of people. So maybe tell us some of your maybe favorite or craziest interactions you had with fans. So share some of those if you don't mind.
Oh, absolutely. So two memories come to mind instantly. One is this last football season where we played USC, and the football team is always amazing, but they played extra, you know, that game. They extra performed. They came to play and they beat them. So it was actually a really hot day, and I'd been in the suit for just hours and hours, and then we went into overtime, double overtime. And so by the time we got to double overtime, I was just exhausted. I lost a ton of, like, water weight. It was really hard. But then, so I'm, like, running the field when everyone's storming the field, and someone picked me up, and I tripped the crowd for about 30 yards. And it was just, not only was it super fun, but I was, like, close to dying. Like, I was exhausted, so it felt really nice. But it was super cool. Everyone's around me. We're on the field with the whole student body and surfing the crowd. So that was really cool. And then another really cool moment was in was a New Skin charity dinner with a combination of those with special needs and terminally ill children. And I went to that with the BYU men's basketball team, and some of the girls' basketball team were there also. And I remember this lady came up to me and she said, "Hey, will you take a picture with my son? He came here to see you, and he's a huge fan, and he's, you know, about a couple weeks away from passing away." And so we went up to, they brought his bed with all of his BYU gear. And, you know, it was, well, first I was kind of shocked because I was like, wow, you have like all these really cool, you know, BYU players. You know, you had like TJ Hawes and all these just amazing, amazing athletes. And he wanted to see me of all people. And so we went over there, and, he just got so excited. He couldn't really speak, but he got so excited. And it was just a really, you know, it was a really impactful moment for me. Is I think that was when it hit that not just, you know, doing cool tricks and flips, but we can actually do something more with that. We can bring like real joy and happiness to people. And the parents got extremely happy with that because, you know, they got a happy reaction out of their son who's been, you know, on the bedside. And so that was really special.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think last thing from me, Stephen, because that's, I love that story because, you know, Cosmo really does uplift so many people, and Cougar fans and people from far and wide, they love Cosmo. And that was evident on social media too recently. You know, the global pandemic hit hard and people were shut down and no sports were taking place. And this mascot bracket emerged with, first off, no Cosmo was on the 64 mascot bracket, first off. And guys like Tom Holmes tweeting saying, "Where's Cosmo at?" And Cougar fans rocked the vote, lifting Cosmo to a national title. Was that kind of fun to watch from afar, seeing the love of Cosmo on social media?
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. Like, so, you know, I was kind of bummed that wasn't included initially, but then, really felt the love from the fans. I think they said they had 8,000 people call in, and then coach got a call from SiriusXM to tell us that we were part of the bracket. And so we just, you know, coach and I, we went straight to work. We did a ton of, pictures and videos during that time. We filmed still a couple of the videos are still yet to come out, but we had a lot of fun with it. We wanted to make a culmination of everything that Cosmo is and has done, and so that's what we all these videos, especially the Royal Blue, just to show what Cosmo is. And yeah, we were very fortunate that the fans came and showed up. And a lot of our fans, BYU fans, just don't have Twitter, and so we got a lot of mail of people telling us that they went and made a Twitter just so they could vote. And so that was it was really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a great point, because not all Cougar fans have these social media accounts. So that's cool to see the outpouring of support that people gave for you. Well, or for Cosmo and the mascot, and it had been cool for you to see that. So last thing from me, Stefan, you've been so precious with your time, and I appreciate this. What's next for you, just on a personal level? I mean, is this something that you put on your resume? Because I got to think that's pretty cool to say, hey, I was a national champion mascot.
Yeah, not going to lie, I totally put it on my resume. Just recently had a job interview for a commercial real estate firm up here in Seattle. And so I applied for associate property manager, hoping to one day become a portfolio manager. And I'm pretty sure that's instrumental in how I ended up getting the job. But yeah, it was, because sometimes not everyone knows, who Cosmo is. And so it was really cool to be able to show them the videos and show them, like talk to them about the training regimen. And, I trained with the trainers, the BYU weightlifting trainers, and then have practice. And then also I really put my heart and soul into Cosmo. And so I would go, to Vossler, just to the gym and, train extra and research different ways that I could improve my speed, my vertical. I took the dance classes from, Big Chocolate at BYU to improve my ability to dance. And so I was able to transfer everything that I learned from Cosmo and explain that it really has real life applications, the ability to learn and grow and to push yourself in a way that you didn't think you can grow, really applies to everything.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Stefan, thanks so much for spending so much time with me. Congrats on the new job and good luck in all your future endeavors. And thanks for taking so much of your time to invest in being a great Cosmo. And I know Cougar fans everywhere love the efforts that you put into helping the legacy of Cosmo grow even more.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for the time, and just love and appreciate every second of it. It truly was the opportunity of a lifetime, and I'll never forget it.
All right. Big thanks to Stefan Millard for joining me here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. Great interview. Really enjoyed learning what goes into the process to be Cosmo, and also highlight the impact that Cosmo makes on so many people's lives. It's just really cool. That story of Cosmo, and you just heard in that interview too how many BYU fans created Twitter accounts to support Cosmo. Mascots to me are always fascinating in a way. I don't know what it is about mascots. I've always been, even as a young kid, I've always been fascinated by mascots and just kind of their dancing and the happiness they bring to people. It's cool. Mascots are awesome. And BYU's mascot, Cosmo, is one of the best to do it. And Stefan did a fantastic job as Cosmo the past few years. He's now graduated, as you heard, and he's up in Seattle, going to have a lot of success professionally. And good luck to him and his family as he moves forward in his life now up in the Pacific Northwest. Every day here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, I've been spotlighting a BYU football player in the countdown to Cougar football returning. 91 days now to kick off, and every single day on the show, I highlight the player that wears the jersey number that coincides with the day. So 91 days till kickoff. Who wears number 91? Well, that would be Earl Tuioti Mariner, a junior defensive lineman for the Cougars. He's 6'4", 290 pounds, out of Topeka, Kansas. One of the cousins to BYU, former BYU football great, who I think is great, Travis Tuiloma, who played in that 2015 Nebraska game, if you remember, that I talked about earlier. And Tuiloma was injured in that game, but Tuiloma had a huge impact on BYU's D-line, one of the best to do it in the 3-4 era that BYU had under Bronco Mendenhall at the D-tackle spot. But Earl Tuioti Mariner hasn't had quite the impact yet like his cousin did at BYU. Now, still time to do it. He's one of the oldest players in the program, one of 10 guys in the program remaining that signed with the Bronco Mendenhall-coached class. He signed back in 2014. Kind of crazy to think. Tuioti Mariner committed to BYU back in the summer of 2013. July 1st, 2013, during a BYU football summer camp, he committed. It's been 7 years since he committed. And he's only in his junior year, still got 2 years remaining in his BYU football career. But last year, Tuioti Mariner had a little bit of expectations going in. Elisa Tuiaki noted that Tuioti Mariner was one of the best pass-rushing interior linemen that BYU had in the program, and that's why he was seeing, you know, playing time in the first six or so weeks of the season. In the South Florida game, he got injured and then was done for the remaining of the season. He didn't play the rest of the year and was out for all of 2019 in the back half, and then he also missed spring football as well. So still recovering from an injury and not having the opportunity until this week to be around the facility and be around trainers, you kind of wonder what's realistic expectations for Tuioti Mariner this fall. It could be a situation where, you know, he just kind of rehabbing and trying to get play into the season, get in a situation where he's able to play at some point. But could he be in the two deep in week one? I think he's got the talent, but just health-wise or health concerns are an issue there when you're coming back from an injury amid a pandemic. So kind of behind the eight ball a little bit. But again, when you're talking about one of the best pass rushing interior linemen, that's going to give him an opportunity to maybe see some playing time when he does get healthy. He even admitted to me last year in fall camp that he's got to improve in terms of stopping the run, assignment sound, you know, doing his 1-11th, filling the gaps, things like that. But I like Tuioti Mariner. I think that if he can be healthy, I think he's a two-deep guy. But when you're not healthy and it's happening during a pandemic and there's a lot of young guys chomping at the bit for playing time, he could fall by the wayside in the depth chart, especially if guys stay healthy and he could be, you know, maybe on the outside looking in terms of playing time this year. We'll see how it all plays out, though. Hoping for the best for Tuioti Mariner because, again, he's a pretty good football player. And he's got ability, that's for sure. He's shown flashes. I remember in the 2018 Arizona game, he had a really solid performance. Nothing that wowed in the stat book, but he was a guy that was just assignment sound in terms of making sure to be where he needed to be and handling his 111. So keep an eye on Earl Tuioti Mariner, number 91 on the BYU football team with 91 days left till kickoff. Kind of side note with him, he married the sister to Logan Taiele's sister, former BYU defensive lineman. He married his sister. So keeping it in the BYU football family, if you will, Earl Tuioti Mariner. So he's cousin of Travis Tuiloma and Jetty Tuiloma, I believe. And then he also married Logan Taiele, former BYU defensive lineman's sister, last year, I believe, as well. So Earl Tuioti Mariner, you can check out the full countdown on kslsports.com and also on my Instagram. I'm doing little 30 to 60 second videos spotlighting each and every player leading up to kickoff for the BYU football season. Because again, I'm pretty optimistic. I'm hopeful that college football starts on time in 2020. I'm crossing my fingers until I get told otherwise. I'm believing that it's happening. Hey, the NBA's coming back July 31st. That's great news. The NHL's coming back. MLS is coming back. I'm trying to think, NFL's according to plan. They're expecting a full season. Everything except Major League Baseball is off and running and getting ready to resume. So there's no reason to think college football cannot be played in 2020. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at @Mitch_Harper, Mitch Harper KSL on Instagram, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google Play, and Spotify, and check out KSLSports.com. Talk to you tomorrow, getting you ready for 90 days till kickoff and setting you up for the weekend coming up here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.